Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We're going to start in the book of Acts, chapter 8. We're going to look at the first four verses, and then we're going to journey through about how the gospel spreads and maybe how the gospel gets hindered. And Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul approved of his execution. Now Saul, this is prior to his conversion or coming to faith in Christ, where we know him as the Apostle Paul. And when it says here that he approved of his execution, you know, the scripture's been kind of broken up in chapters so we can kind of easily navigate our way. And so that is on the heels of Stephen, who was just stoned, okay, for his faith in Christ. And Saul was approving of Stephen's death. And so I want you to understand that first phrase of verse 1. And then it says, because of this, there arose on that day a great persecution. Can you say great persecution? Oh, come on. Yeah, great persecution. Come on. Great persecution! All right. Good. See? Stay awake for it. All right? On that day, a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women who believed in Christ and committed them to prison. You see, in the early church, Jesus Christ crucified, dead, buried, rose again, seen among people, ascended. People believed in him as the Messiah. And of course, religious leaders and rulers of the day, they didn't tolerate this. And so they were always scheming and trapping. And you'll see that even when Jesus was alive in his incarnate form of humanity, and always trying to trap him and catch him. And so now you've got these followers who are continuing to preach the gospel, teach and tell the story in their life of Christ. And so a day broke out and slowly, and then of course this great persecution where they tried to contain believers, keep them within the city, contain them, arrest them, and put them in prison, torture them, even kill them, make them martyrs, so that if they could kill the followers before they got too big, before the message of Jesus spread, if they could contain them and they could persecute, they could kill the message, show that there's no validity, and that this Jesus never rose from the dead and he was not the Messiah. See, that was the plan of darkness, the plan of hell. And of course, you know, the plan backfires on hell and all its demonic forces. And the scheming of lost men against Christ, this all backfires. So what happens is the believers get persecuted, and it says here, they begin to scatter. They begin to leave the city, whether they go and hide, whether they just flee, whether they relocate, and what do they take with them? The story. The testimony. The story of what Jesus did for people. The story of what Jesus did for them. The story of his crucifixion. The testimony of his resurrection. And they carry the story, bringing light and hope and peace to those who don't know Christ, maybe never heard of Jesus. So instead of it being contained and killed, the gospel spread. You'll remember in Matthew, you might recall Matthew 16, where Peter answers Jesus' question to the disciples. He says, "Who do you fellas," well, I paraphrased with fellas, but you know, "you fellas, who do you say that I am?" And Peter speaks up. He says, "Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he says, "My Father in heaven has revealed that to you. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now, when we hear that, I'm not smart enough to assume what everybody thinks, but I want to tell you what is being said. Is Jesus is telling them, listen, the gates of this city will not contain you. The message of him, the Messiah, the story of people's testimony and encounter with him will not be contained within the gates of this city. It will not be able to hold it. You will go and spread the story, the testimony, the reality of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the goodness of his Father. You see, that's what the gates of hell represent. It wasn't trying to break in. It was that the enemy was trying to contain. And he said, these gates will not hold you. There will be a building of his church. And so the persecution, this great persecution that broke out, was to contain them and kill it. And instead, the believers scattered. And the gospel spread. And through the region, and now through generations and time, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ has gone around the world. Now, not every people groups or every tribe has been yet reached. There are some who are still in extremely remote places, small tribes that have never heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news for us that you and I share. So the gospel could not be contained. It's gone around the world, generation after generation. You see, they began to understand some teachings that Jesus said, like Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, into all the world and preach what? Preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Go and preach. And so here, you know, the enemy of the gospel tried to contain it, couldn't do it. The gospel has gone around the globe, and the gospel is being preached around the world. And you and I are called to tell our story. We're called to tell our story. It's your story with him that you're called to tell. He said something to his disciples in the book of Acts after his resurrection, and he was now going to ascend to the Father. And he said in Acts 1:8, he said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power to be my witnesses, my martyrs, here in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." That the message of Christ will go around the globe. Because they will carry with them their story. Turn to the person next to you and say, God has been trying to give you a story. Go ahead. You might wonder about your past. Listen, it's part of your story. Yeah, but my past, man, it's dark. It is really not good. Listen, that which you maybe cooperated with even, what your adversary has meant for bad, God can take and turn it for good. If you're here this morning and you don't really know him, Listen, don't hear this. Don't hear, hey, you know, you got to go to church and you got to obey the rules and you got, listen, there's some truth to those things. But listen, what I want you to hear this morning is there is a Christ and his name is Jesus and he's filled with grace and he has a mercy that we can build our life off of and that he will walk with us through this. He is not looking for you to get untangled on your own first so you feel good enough to come to him. He is the only one that can untangle us. He's the only one. He is not worried about your past. He loves you in your present and he'll walk with you into your future. That's who he is. Don't get wrapped up in where people have failed you. Get wrapped up this morning in who Jesus is and what he brings to our life because he is trying to give you a story. So the plan in the early church was to contain the people who believed in Jesus, drag them out of their houses, go find them, get them contained in prison, torture them, make examples of them so that other people will not believe in Jesus because they will see what happens to those who believe and they will also consider, gee, you know, Jesus doesn't seem to care about his followers. Look at what's happening to them and try to discredit him. Well, the gates of hell did not prevail and the gospel has gone around the globe. So what might be the enemy's tactics now, considering that plan completely backfired on him, and out of the persecution, God brought good and scattered his children, his messengers all over, that they could now tell the story, and the gospel has brought fruit of people turning to Christ since then all around the world. What now is the plan of darkness? I don't know all the plans, and I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I will tell you that there are some things that you and I can be lulled into because the plan hasn't really changed much, but the tools have. It's not containment and torture and kill you, at least not in this part of the world yet. But what seems to be activated is the containment of the gospel in an individual who has a story about Jesus, to contain them, and they slowly get lulled into isolation. Let me tell you what I mean. Dear, do you have your phone with you? Can you bring it to me, please? I'm going to need it for a moment. Thank you. On my phone, this is hers, but on my phone, and I didn't bring it in here with me, on my phone, it's interesting. Now, I can go on my phone, and I can go to, like, Pizza Hut website, okay? And this is not a commercial for Pizza Hut, okay? Because, you know, you may like it or not like it. It's okay. You know, where I come from, pizza's probably the best, maybe close to anywhere in the world. So, anyhow, let me stay on task here. Pizza got me distracted. I love pizza. Pizza, you know, squirrel. Okay, so, you know, that kind of thing. on my phone, I can pull up the Pizza Hut website because I found out that I can call them and then, you know, I have to talk to a person. And then I got to kind of order my pizza and they're getting other calls and all this is going on and they're, you know, kind of trying to be polite, but they're busy and, you know, and I discovered that when I call them and order pizza, if I stop by and order pizza, that it's a couple bucks more than if I just go online and order the pizza. Because I said to them once, I said, you know, I was on your website, and I thought this was the price, and it wasn't rude. I'm glad to pay the couple extra bucks. I don't want you to give you the impression that I'm a cheapskate. That is just not the case. Okay, it really isn't. So, Why are two of you laughing? And so I said, okay, so you can ask those who know me. So anyhow, and she said, oh, well, if you order online, then that's the price. And I said, oh, well, thank you. Goodbye. So I go to their website, and then I open this, you know, basic information account. They don't need my Visa card or anything like that. They just, you know, and so they build this little profile. And I can go to the Pizza Hut website, not have to talk to anybody, and I can just push the buttons and click, and my order's placed. And, you know, I don't even have to go pick it up. I can have them deliver it to my house. And I know delivery's been out for a long time. You're looking at me like, yeah, duh. And some of you are going, you're just talking about this now? We could do this like a year and a half ago. Hey, so I'm a late arrival, all right? So just in technology. So, and then if I go back to that on, you know, a week or month later, it'll ask me, do you just want to order the same thing? And in one click, I can just do it, or one tap. It's interesting. That I can have an order, never talk to a person, never see them, and I can have it brought to my front door. I could even have paid it online if I chose, and don't even have to exchange money or cash with the person at the door. I could put their tip on it. By the way, you're a Christian, you tip. So, put your hand over your heart. I pledge to tip. Okay, good. All right, so, you know, other than, hi, thanks, and they're off because they got more deliveries. There's hardly it. Why pack up the family, go through all the hassle of having to go out to eat, especially if you're a young family? I remember we had one. We brought her everywhere at all hours. We had two. It was like, well, this works. It's just more work. And then you get to three, and you go, I mean, a little outing to Pizza Hut, you have to pack like you're going on a two-week vacation. It's, you know, it's just, it's like, forget this. Let's order in, or, you know, dig out the fries in the minivan that have been on the floor for just. You get to four, and you're just, you're done. You know, you're not going anywhere. And so, you know, but we look at this. Here's the other thing, you know. Maybe you're a moviegoer, maybe you're not. If you still feel like going to a movie publicly is a great compromise, listen, I'm not out to offend you, okay? That's not the point. But, you know, now you don't have to drive to the theater, and you don't have to, you know, pay $20 for a big thing of popcorn, even though it's free refills and they don't charge you for extra butter. And I'm getting distracted again. But why go through that? Why call up other couples and go out? You know, it's just easier. Pizza Hut, click. Don't see anybody. Don't talk to anybody. I can get, you know, whether it's Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hudu or Lulu or Dudu or whatever it is, website you go to. Why go out to them? I mean, I could just do it here at home. I mean, you know, as a guy, you don't have to spend an extra 3 minutes getting ready to go out and then sit in the vehicle and wait for your wife for another hour. Oh, quit throwing stuff. I'm just having a little fun with you. My wife doesn't take an hour. She just wakes up beautiful. And I don't even think she's mad at me right now. So, I mean, I'm not trying to win points or anything. But anyhow, you know, so all this stuff. Listen, I did something. I don't know. I did it once, and it was like over a year ago. Because we have Amazon Prime because, you know, let's face it, we don't have to go to a store anymore. We don't have to. We can go here and we can order our groceries. We can order our household cleaning products. Pretty much whatever you want can be shipped to your door. You don't have to get in your vehicle, drive, you know, across town, drive all the way down to La Crosse. I mean, my goodness, it's, you know, 20 minutes. You know, you don't have to go in and then stand in line and, you know, oh my goodness, and you're irritated with people and this person can't figure out their coupon. You're ready to say, listen, I'll give you the $5. Let's just keep going. You know, Amazon Prime, there's a thing called Prime Pantry. Is that Prime Pantry? Pantry Prime? Whatever. Turn it around however you want. Anyhow, it's where you get to pick all this stuff and you get to fill your box, whatever size box you get. And they say, oh, you're 85% full. And listen, I'm thinking, hey, I could get some stuff, you know, and so my wife doesn't have to carry, you know, heavy laundry soap and all of this, and it could just, you know, be a great help to her. So I'm ordering stuff, and I have it shipped. Push the button, pay for it. It shows up at my house. Never had to go to a store. Didn't have to go out of my way. Didn't have to talk to any people. Nobody had to talk to me. And we think all this is convenient. And it is. And it's not that I won't ever do it again. But I realized something. And it's not, hey, my wife needs a workout. She can go and, you know, that's not it. So nobody gets to meet her. Nobody gets to see her smile. Nobody gets to talk to her. Nobody gets to see how she conducts herself in line while she's waiting. No people. Doesn't have to go out to eat. Doesn't have to go out for entertainment. Doesn't even have to go out and do groceries or household shopping. And think of all the time we saved. And yet we're still so busy that we would like in our minds to go visit our neighbor, but we don't. Because we have so much to do. We have so isolated our life. Listen, I am not against technology. I'm telling you, it is like everything else in our life that has been a blessing. Used out of order, we distort it. And we make the blessing and we turn it into a curse. And you think this is all fantastic and this is all convenient and this is a blessing. I want to tell you something. When this starts to isolate believers, the story, your story, never gets out. We start watching more than we do. We watch more than we do. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, back in the dark ages here, but, you know, prior to this, I was always doing something. I wasn't a great watcher. As a kid, you know. I mean, the only full football games that I watched, because football was playing in our house on TV, the only football that I really watched the whole game is when Dick Butkus played. And then when he quit, I watched Fran Tarkington. And after that, other than the occasional Super Bowl or if I'm sitting with family, I really don't watch full football games. When I was a kid, I could only watch part of a game and get so antsy and I had to call my buddies and I had to go out and play. We watch more now, even as big kids, than we do. Listen, my home is not insulated from this. So I'm not preaching to you out of some self-righteousness here. I'm telling you that there is a cultural shift, a plan behind all of this that we think there's no spiritual element, no darkness, motivating behind it. Not against technology. No, no. I'm talking about the way that we get lulled into isolation. Not just keeping the message of the gospel from the public or those who don't know Christ, but even within believers and within our own home. I have watched this happen, and I am guilty just like others who have lived in my home in recent years. See, they're young adults and they're slowly... I'm going, goodbye, thanks for coming. And Sue's going, oh, stay here. I've watched it. I can walk out into our living area, our kitchen, dining, and our living room. It's, you know, just this open concept in our, you know, modest home. And it's just a great meeting place. Food, whatever. And I've watched this. And not one person, just for a moment, but I've looked, and they have all been on a device. Now, I'm not throwing stones at you or my family or myself here. And there's a place for this. But I'm not against technology. I'm telling you that undisciplined, we will isolate ourselves and your story won't get told. We can all go to different parts of the house. We'll be on a computer, we'll be on a device, there's a TV, there's a gaming, there's whatever, there's the British Bake Off, whatever, I don't know, whatever it's called. It was funny, just yesterday I said, you know, I ended some TV series, and I said, you know, I don't know if they're, what to watch next or whatever. And it's not like, you know, my life is run around TV shows. It really isn't. I still tend to be a doer more than a watcher, but there's some downtime and whatever. So she texted me, oh, you could watch the British Bake Off. I went, oh, yeah, but no. And I've watched it. And everybody just kind of goes to the corner of their residence. They're all with a device. That we are insulating ourselves from each other. Now, I'm not saying never. See, understand the point I'm making. It's not about the technology. It's about the principle of being lulled into isolation and how that affects your story getting out. Listen, if you think, oh, yeah, but, you know, I've got Facebook, and I tell my story. I say things on Facebook. Thank you, Sue, for your phone. It's right there. You know, and listen, I want to tell you something. I appreciate you saying things for the Lord. I'm not on Facebook. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm really not. Sorry. I lied. Forgive me. It wasn't intentional. Okay. I'm not. Those of you who are, I don't condemn it. Please, this is not, this morning, listen, this is not my opinion about this. I want to share something with you that we are lulled into, and it's going to affect the story, your story with Christ being told. You think, well, I share Scripture, and I share this, and when something happens out there, I give my biblical, you know, interpretation of whatever. And I appreciate that, you know. But I want you to know that, you know, I get reports from people, and I know that, you know, many times this turns into some kind of argument. Not always from the person who's posting it, sometimes, but somebody puts something on your wall. I said that with a question because that's what it's called, right? They put it on your wall, and then somebody else puts something on the wall, and before you know it, they're arguing, and it's on your wall. Or maybe you jump in. I'm going to tell you something. Facebook, Instagram, pin whatever, or whatever else, .com or whatever, I want to tell you something. That is not your pulpit. I'm going to tell you where your pulpit is. Your pulpit is where you live your life. In front of your neighbors, with your coworkers, with your friends, in the mall, at Walmart. That's your pulpit. Because your conduct and your life and your character reflecting Christ, that's your pulpit. Because here's the reality about Facebook. Say what you want. I know there's an element of it that's true. But Facebook, you only give impressions of what you want people to think your life is like. It's not really your pulpit. Your neighbor knows how you live. That's real. Facebook, it's what you want people. Listen, I remember when my young adult children became young adults, and I introduced the idea to my wife that I probably need a motorcycle. Yeah, you're right, man. So, do what you want, but I'm not interested, and don't ask me. And you've heard me maybe talk about this before, and I want to share something with you. Because I don't want to use, like, other people, anybody to feel awkward, including my wife, because this is really a good story. There was a day I came home after having the Harley for a while, because I promised not to ask her. I broke the promise a couple times. I kind of said, you want to go for a ride? And they just, you know, nope. I come home one day. I pulled up in the driveway on my motorcycle, and she come, you know, bouncing out of the house around the garage and kind of like, you know, and, you know, no offense to her or I, but, you know, that's not how she greets me every day. nor should she, you know. And she goes, all right, you going to take me for a ride? And I just went, does my wife know you're here? You know, who are you? You know, I didn't ask a bunch of times. I didn't want her to change her mind. I thought, man, I'd love to. So, you know, I instruct her how to, you know, get on the bike and all of that. We weren't out of the driveway, and her phone was out doing a selfie. She's got her helmet on, and you could tell we're on the motor. Is she doing a selfie? And I'm like, hey, you know, we're going to go now, so you might want to hang on to that. And yeah. And we get down the driveway, and, you know, we just have a short way to go to the stop sign to the corner. And, you know, she's getting the phone. I said, you better hang on to that thing, you know. I mean, not that I'm reckless, but, you know, stuff happens, you know. There was no idiot string attached to it, you know, to, like those mittens we had, you know, that so you don't lose them. So there was, you know, it, and, you know, the pictures, and I know where they're going. They're going to get posted, and that's okay. We turned the corner, and then, of course, the phone kind of went away, and then all the whimpering started. Oh, no, get me home, you know. I mean, it was like basically, you know, kind of like, we're stopped. You know, we're okay. She wanted 2 minutes. She wanted back. I took her for a 10-minute loop through town, you know. But anyhow, so what happened is the pictures go on Facebook, and then I hear from some people. Your wife, she rides a motorcycle with you. It's kind of like she's a biker chick. She doesn't want to ride on that. She's not a biker chick. Okay. People thought because there was a picture of that's what our life was like. Facebook is not your pulpit because it's not really your life. I mean, was she on the motorcycle and did we go for a ride? Yes. And it was a glorious 10 minutes for me. Okay? It was. It was, you know, my woman's on the back. In my mind, I said, my old lady. But, you know, that, you know, so, not, you know, so. So, see, what I'm telling you is, Facebook's not your pulpit. It's not real life. Your story is how you live out what Christ has done. You see, there is something that darkness understands better than you and I, and it's this, is that without contact, there's no impact. Listen, you will never be able to replace person to person with Skype, with Facebook, with photos, with you trying to throw in a little Christianity here and there. And by all means, go ahead and do that. I'm not telling you not to. I'm just telling you that Facebook is not your pulpit. It is how you live your life in the marketplace and at home and at church and at school and at events. That's the pulpit that impacts people. Listen, Facebook and all, we end up watching way more than we do. And now we're not saving time, we're burning daylight. The enemy wants to isolate believers because the gospel now has spread around the world. He can't just contain it and kill it. So now, let's just isolate each believer in their device, in their technology, in their undisciplined conduct with this blessing that they don't have to go anywhere. They can have stuff delivered. They can just do their own entertainment. They don't have to go out with couples. They don't have to go take their children out in public because, you know, it's just too much work. I mean, my goodness, we've got two children. Two children. Don't even talk to me because you got two kids. You haven't even started the work yet. Hey, if you are getting isolated, the story is not getting out. And that is the tactic of the enemy. Here's the blessing. Oh, and technology, and look how much more we can do for the gospel and promote it. Yes, it's true. But as far as us as an individual believer, if it isolates us and takes us out of contact with people, and don't think, are you kidding? I'm in touch with more people now. No, you are cruising Facebook and whatever else, and you're getting these snapshots of people's life that is not their life, and it's not their pulpit. Their pulpit is their garage, their driveway, their patio, and how they live their life in front of their neighbors. That is your pulpit. If he isolates you, I want you to know the gospel will not be delivered. See, there was an era of time that we were very concerned in the church world about the diluting of the gospel. In other words, the watering down of the gospel. We were so concerned about diluting the gospel. And we should watch our doctrine closely. Yes, no question. But the talk everywhere was about watering down the gospel. And this person waters down the gospel. And this person preaches, you know, hellfire and brimstone. And they just don't hold back. And all this conversation for decades was about the concern about diluting the gospel. I want you to know something. The concern now and the talk now is not about diluting the gospel. It's about the delivery of the gospel. And will it ever be delivered? If you are isolated, you don't tell your story. There's no delivery. You stockpiled it in the warehouse, but you got no transport. Jesus put it this way. Who lights a candle, puts it in a room, and then puts a bushel over it? Doesn't make sense. Why would you have a story that Christ has given you? And now through isolation, you've placed this basket over your story. Because you won't go to the store, you won't go out with people, you're so busy, and after all, the world's evil and a lot of bad things are happening out there. Let's just keep clicking buttons, watching more than we do, and isolate ourselves. No story. No spreading of the gospel. You see how we can get lulled into that without an awareness, without even a second thought? Listen, we did a study here on Wednesday night. It was by P. Peel and Larry Moore. They, in the book, they asked a question. I want to pose this to you, this question. They asked the question, what if we decided to quarantine all the doctors and physicians and surgeons and all the medical people? Just quarantine them. We couldn't have access to them. They didn't have access to us. What would happen? What would happen? You couldn't get your checkup. You couldn't get your pills. You couldn't get a broken arm set. You couldn't get an x-ray, an ultrasound, surgery. What would happen? We just quarantined the doctors. They just had all, you know, they had enough food and they were down in their underground, you know, whatever, barrack, end times, whatever. And they were quarantined. The sick would stay sick. The sick would die. People would die prematurely. There would be pain, discomfort. I mean, no health. Let me ask you. What if we quarantine Christians? If we quarantine doctors and what happens in the physical, if we quarantine Christians, that's what will happen in the spiritual. And not just in this life, but for all eternity. See, in America, they don't have to send troops to our house to drag us out. The enemy wants to keep you in your house. And he wants to keep you in each in your own room. Listen, it's not just this isolation from the world that we're supposed to tell our story to. I'm watching it happen. Listen, we've been watching this happen now for close to a decade in the church world in the United States. And it's across denominational lines. They're watching now on Sunday morning church. They're watching their attendance drop. For this reason, people who call it their home church, and it doesn't matter if you're urban, metro, rural, doesn't matter what setting or size church you're in, they're watching this happen. That people who call it their home church, and they feel committed to it, and they feel committed to the Lord, they're watching their attendance go to once, maybe twice a month, other than some core people. Once or twice a month. And those people say, yeah, we're committed. And listen, don't take this wrong. This isn't about, hey, you got to be a church because we want everybody here and we got to have big numbers. That's not, uh-uh. What's happening is they're isolating, too busy. They're watching more than they're doing. And we're isolating from each other. Not just in our homes as families, not just from the world, but one another. Listen to this. The writer of Hebrews, old scripture, way long time ago. You'd be amazed how relevant his word is today. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love more and do good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encourage one another as the day of Christ gets nearer. See, doing church at home, I mean, we offer it on our website. We do a live stream this morning. And it has a place. And I'm for it. For those who can't make it, or those who are maybe searching for a church, or they just want to get a taste, or what's New Life like, or other churches. And I get it, and it's good, and the gospel's out there, or they may want to do the recording and send it to somebody. I'm all for that, but hear this. If we just don't show up and get together, and you think you can watch it online or do it by yourself, well, let me ask you something. How do you speak into anybody's life? Because on that computer, they ain't hearing you. They don't hear your story. Who's praying for you? Who are you praying for? Who do you get to talk to the scripture about and encourage one another and sharpen one another? I can do it online. Again, isolation from one another. Isolation in our own home. Isolation at work. Hey, listen, I'm happy for all the people who make a great living staying home, and now they don't have to go to an office. They can stay in their pajamas and work out of their home. Here's the sad thing. There's no cubicle next to them to tell their story if they're a believer. There's no office building, no people to see, nobody to go to lunch with. You and I better be very alarmed. And we better start to redesign our life. Because if we fall into isolation, darkness, it'll win. The gospel has gone around the world, but nobody is telling the story anymore. Your story. Your life story. Somebody needs to hear where you were and where you've been brought to and how the Lord has helped you, and even in confusing times that you haven't figured out, you still sensed Him, and that they can hear and go, maybe the Lord would do that for me. We just like to sing the hymn or the song, "This is my story. This is my song." Your pulpit is where you live your life. And that's where you tell your story. By your speech, by your conduct, by your action. And those of you who have kids at home, they're watching still. They're still watching you. They're still watching you. Wherever you're at, they're going to go twice as far. That's been the ratio. Wherever the parents are, the kids go twice as far. If it's devastation, twice as much. If it's something good, they go twice as much. Now, that's not every story. It doesn't mean you're doomed or you're exalted. I'm just telling you, as they've done a general consensus, it's kind of like twice as far. See, that's why exponentially over the last several decades, so much has happened in technology and everything else is twice as far, twice as far, twice as far. I wonder how far their story might reach based upon that calculation of what they see their parents do. Stand up, please, with me, all of this room. It was persecution, containment, and kill it. Today, it's containment, and let's isolate them. Because the message won't go anywhere. Listen, this isn't to condemn anybody. This is to make you and I very aware of what lurks behind the culture, our tendency in our own life, that we walk by every day and we don't take notice. I want Him to wake the church up to this. I believe He wants us to open our eyes. You don't have to throw your device away. It's not that you can't ever watch a movie at home. It's not that you can't order pizza or get some groceries sent. I'm just telling you, watch out for isolation. Because your well-intended attitude to share your story, and I meant to go to my neighbor, or I meant to go out, or trust me, years will go by, and your intention's still there, but there was no fruit because you never told your story. You have got a story of what Christ has done for you. Deliver it.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.